Hey, the book of Genesis, chapter 2. The last part of verse 20 starting, it says, "But for Adam no suitable helper was found, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.'" Verse 24, "For this reason a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." And verse 25, "The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." So today we start this new series called Naked and Unashamed. And I know a lot of minds have been kind of rolling with the thought of this, and hey, believe me, mine's been rolling too. And, you know, as I've kind of thought about this concept, you know, and it's just, you know, but there's something you have to do for me, not only today, but over the next few weeks. And this is going to be a challenge, just to be really honest with you. And that's this. I really want us to think spiritually and not physically. Okay? Because honestly, let's be honest and just get all this right out in the open, you know. And you know, because when you hear the word naked, it's like this little junior high voice comes inside of you and you get this little giggle. He said naked. You know, and there's all this crazy stuff, you know. And so, you know, just I just really want you to, you know, get rid of the physical stuff and you know, all that stuff, because our physical minds start thinking physical things. And that is the farthest place from where I'm going with this series. It has nothing to do with physical. It has nothing to do with sex whatsoever. And I shared last week that the concept and the thought behind this came out of our small group. And a couple Sunday nights ago, and I'm in a small group, Lacey and I are in a small group with several other couples from our church, and we talk about marriage. And, you know, and it's great. It's been an awesome group. And it just so happened that our last session was, it was on sex. And so we had some pretty honest, good fun with it. And, you know, it was good discussion, you know, and it was, you know, godly, and it was just a good time. And so somehow, and I don't remember how, I really don't. You just got to stay with me. Remember, we're thinking spiritual, not physical. Somehow, the thought concept of praying naked came up. And it was a good thing. Now, just stay with me, okay? And we were laughing and joking around with it, you know, and all of this stuff, and it was clean, I promise you. It was, you know, it was good, but this is what it made me think. And I shared this thought, and this is the whole thought of this whole series. Adam and Eve were never any closer to God than when they were standing in that garden and they were naked and unashamed. And this is why I kind of feel that way, and really, well, it's just because of God's word, because up until the point of, okay, the end of verse 2, the Bible says they were naked and they were without shame, okay? There was no shame. So really quickly, I want to define shame, and I think I wrote the definition. This is the definition of shame: a painful emotion caused by a strong sense of guilt, embarrassment, unworthiness, or disgrace that brings about dishonor, disappointment, and or condemnation. Okay? So this, I mean, that's a pretty big definition, but so this is kind of where I'm going with this, because God had created all the world and every creature in it up until this point. Okay? You read chapter 1 through chapter 2, and that's when creation happens. God, you know, does all the creating, everything that is, and gives man and even woman, which, by the way, that was a great creation, and I'm thankful that God gave us woman, because I love my wife. And you know, so all this stuff is really good. So a perfect God, okay, stay with me, creates this perfect place. And that's really what it is. And so here they are in this perfect place with the presence of a perfect God, and they were naked and felt no shame. There was no guilt. There was no embarrassment. There was no unworthiness. There was no disgrace. There was no dishonor. There was no condemnation. And you might say, why? You know, they had no idea that any of this even existed. Any of these feelings even existed. And I can kind of go with that too, because if you go back just a couple verses earlier in this, actually in the end of chapter 1 in verse 27, it says this: "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Man and woman was created in the image of God. So this is where I'm gathering. To this point, there was no shame. They didn't know any of this stuff because it was a perfect God that had created a perfect place. And here he had put these two people, this man and this woman, in the middle of this perfect place to be surrounded by his perfect presence. And I'm going to go as far to say that at this point, right here, there has been nobody other than Jesus any closer to being a perfect person. Okay? So, everybody with me right now? It's going to take me a moment to set all this stuff up, but I promise you, you're going to know where we're going here in just a second. They were created in the image of God. They felt no shame because there was no shame. They felt none of these feelings because they weren't there. They just weren't there. It didn't matter if they had clothes or not, because they didn't see through the eyes of shame or the eyes of perversion. They saw through the eyes of purity and perfection. They were naked and unashamed and as close to their Creator as they ever were. But as you know, the story doesn't stay this way. And then enter the serpent, the devil. And I want to read just a few verses of kind of the beginning of the second part of this story. In verse 1 of verse 3, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.'" Verse 4, "You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom," by the way, if you look at those things, those are all selfish kind of things. We'll go there in a minute too. "She ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." And then verse 7, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." So enter into the story right now, shame. Chapter 1, chapter 2, everything's really good, everything's perfect up to this point. We start right off in chapter 3, and then it just the whole thing just blows up, okay? Enter into the story, shame. Enter into the story, embarrassment. Enter into the story, you know, all these negative thoughts and these ill feelings and all this, you know, this just unworthiness and all of these things, this condemnation and all, just, it's awful. So what caused this shame? And this may sound like a Sunday school lesson maybe for a few of you, but I've got to set it up, and it's important, okay? What caused the shame? Sin caused the shame. I mean, this is very, I'm going to be bold today, maybe as I've ever been. I don't know. Don't exactly know where we're going to go, but sin caused this shame, plain and simple. They were created by a perfect God to live in a perfect place and live a perfect life, all the while enjoying a perfect relationship with their Creator, but they chose their own selfish desires. Their own selfish desires over that one simple command of God. And that choice brought shame into this world through sin, and immediately they felt it. I mean, the Bible says immediately their eyes were opened, and they saw through shameful eyes because of the act of sin. So today I want to talk about naked living for just a second, and remember, you know, get all the physical stuff out of your mind. Let's really think spiritual, because this is important stuff, I'm telling you. Even though man can never be perfect again, I mean, we can't. There's only, you know, one perfect person that's made it through his life, and that's Jesus. We can't be, you can't be. It's impossible, okay? We can't be perfect. But I do personally believe that it is possible for us to continue to grow, that it is possible for us to continue to face some of the shameful things in our life, to deal with that and begin to grow in our relationship with God and begin living a life naked and unashamed. Because as we go through this series, we're going to talk about naked prayer. We're going to talk about naked worship. Probably going to talk about naked serving and naked giving. But I'm just going to, this is the thought that I've really got before. We can't deal with any of that stuff You will never have the prayer life that you need to have or want to have. You will never have the worship life that you want to have. You'll never serve like you're supposed to, and you'll never give like you're supposed to, as long as there is sin in our lives. It got quiet. We won't. I won't. We all won't. Some of you may be thinking, whoa, PR, I thought this was going to be some funny junior high giggly message. But I really couldn't make it that way. This is an issue that we all struggle with. Every single person in this building today struggles with. At different points in time in our life, maybe it's been worse than others. But we've all struggled with it. I've struggled with it. I still struggle with it. Come on, let's be honest. I mean, we all have these struggles and we all have these issues in our life. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single person. So don't be sitting in here today with these thoughts in your head that I'm singling you out. Because I'm not. Because, you know, we could all single ourselves out. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Sin is something that we all deal with. And now the sin that you struggle with may be different than the person you're sitting next to. The sin that you struggle with may be different than the person that's in front of you or behind you. It may be different than your best friend, may be different than your kids, may be different than your parents, may be different than your spouse, may be different than mine. But regardless of the fact what it is and how it is, it's still something that we struggle with. It is a battle nonetheless, and Satan knows it. He knew it in the garden that day. When chapter 3 started, when that part of the story started, he knew, even though things had been perfect up to that point, Satan knew that there was going to be a struggle right then. And he knows the struggles that are in your life. He knows the things that get you. He knows the things that trips you up. And just because you stand up and say, I'm going to face it or I'm going to deal with it, doesn't mean Satan's going to go lock himself in a closet and say, well, they've got it all figured out. Got to leave them alone. You all well know that that's not going to happen. In fact, most of the time, his efforts intensify. Now, they may change, and he gets sneaky. He gets sneaky. The things that he throws at you when you're 13, 14, 15, 16 is different than the things that he throws at you when you're 40, 50, and 60 sometimes. He'll find different ways to get in. Maybe you conquered something in your life and he knows that you conquered it, and maybe you took a stand and you're not going to deal with that and you're not going to struggle with that, and maybe you're not, and he figures that out. Don't think that he's going to say, well, there ain't nothing else. He'll find something. So this is something, it has been a struggle since the garden, and it is a struggle today. But for us to start living naked and unashamed, we have got to start tackling some of the sin issues in our life. And I'm stressing our. I don't want you to think that I'm some pastor standing up here preaching about a tough subject that I don't deal with, because we all deal with it. All of us deal with it. So what is sin? Just to well define it really quickly. The Bible describes sin as the breaking or transgressions of God's law. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, it says, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. And so basically, in other words, what this is saying is when we go against what God says in his word, if it does not match with this word, then basically it's sin. And actually, if you go on and you look just in some other places, it's also defined as disobedience or rebellion. Okay, that's willfully. Okay, that's a willful decision to be disobedient to what God's word says, as well as independence from God. And actually, if you go look at the word sin and you go to the original translation of the word, it means this. I like this. It's really simple. It means to miss the mark of God's holy standard for righteous living. It means to miss the mark for God's holy standard for righteous living. We just don't quite get to that mark or that place. So you know, we've defined it, and let's just be simple and to the point. It's basically being willfully disobedient to what God's word says. And or in other words, knowing it's wrong and doing it anyways. Okay? Just throwing all this out there. So let's get back to this life naked and unashamed thing. And so, you know, for us to really do that, we've got to address some of these areas in our life. And I want to just share with you really quickly from this story, from this really simple story at the beginning of the Bible, I want to share three really out there upfront things, okay, that sin leads us to in our lives that keeps us from living a life naked and unashamed. The first one is this. Sin leads us to hide from God. Sin will lead us to hide from God. And if you look at verse 8 really quickly, it says this. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And you know, this is kind of one of those scriptures that kind of make me laugh just a little bit in one aspect of the things. Because seriously, we do this all the time. We try to hide. We try to hide from God, and we'll live our life, and we'll do these things, and we'll make these mistakes, and we'll do all this stuff, and we do. We try to hide from God. And we get this thought, and you know what that's really weird about all this? You know, I mean, seriously, and you know, we try to hide from God, you know, let's just kind of, because some people say, well, this is going to be a salvation message. Well, some of it is, yes, but I just really, Christians, I want you to grab a hold of something today. This is probably a little more geared towards us, and now, if you're here today and you've never made a commitment to Jesus, you know, you really need to be listening, because I believe that today could be the day that you make that, and this is really important stuff, and kind of begins that. But Christian, you cannot tone me out. You have got to stay here, because, and you're going to think this is really weird when you hear this, but this is something I believe God showed me this week, okay? And we, you know where we hide? You know where we try to hide from God at? Right here. Right here. We come in, I mean, and think about this, man. And we can struggle all we want out there and none of you know it. And then we come right in here and it's like we're hiding. You know, we hide from other people, but it's almost like we get this thought process, because I'm in church, I'm okay. And we're hiding from God. You know, we struggle with the things we struggle with out here, and then we walk in these doors and we think we've got this protective thing, or God has to put on these sunglasses where he can't see us inside of this place. We keep going to church, we keep reading our Bible, we keep praying, we keep serving and acting like nothing is wrong. Now, please, don't take this, well, I guess I'm just going to leave till everything's perfect. No, that's not what I'm saying. You keep coming, you keep praying, you keep reading, you keep worshiping, you keep doing all of those things. But you cannot, and I cannot, hide the sin that is in my life from God just by walking in this building. I can't hide the sin in my life from standing up here with a guitar on my shoulders or the microphone in my face, singing, worshiping, and preaching to you. I can't hide that from God. Just like you can't either. But sin will get us thinking that we can. We can't hide our gossip by going to church. We can't hide what we're watching on our TVs or the things that we're looking at on our computers by going to church. We need to be in church, but we have to. We got to open our eyes to the fact that we can't hide it. It all goes back to shame. Because I know this, when it's in our life, I don't care what, we can try to hide it from everybody else, but I can promise you, you can't hide it from God, but you can't hide it from yourself either. It's something that we feel and we live with. And to start walking with God and living with God the way that we need to, we have to come out of hiding. And we got to face it. I mean, really, we got to face all that stuff and deal with it. Number two, really quickly, sin leads us to fear God. And when I talk about it, well, we're supposed to fear God. Not in the wrong way. Not in the wrong way. If you go on to verse 9, and actually it's verse 9 and 10, it says this, "But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' And he answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I was afraid because I was full of shame, so I hid.'" Now get this. It's almost like Adam was sitting there saying, "God, I knew you were here with me. I knew where you were." He even heard his voice. He heard his footsteps. That's another thing. I don't care how hard we try to hide. When God speaks, when the Holy Spirit speaks, you can't turn him off. We can try to run from him and we can try to hide from him. I heard him. In fact, probably I've heard him as loud in my life in the times where I wasn't making the right decisions.
his voice gets really loud. And the more you try to turn the volume down, he'd just reach over and turn it right back up. But think about this, okay? Adam says, I was afraid because I was naked. I was afraid because I was ashamed. I was afraid because I was embarrassed. I was afraid because I was guilty. I was afraid because I was unworthy. Our fear of God is to be reverent and positive. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean sometimes it's not tough. But it is to be reverent and positive, not put us into hiding from him. And Adam and Eve knew they had disappointed God, and they couldn't face their shame at this point, and so they hid. Our fear of God should never drive us away from him. The fear of God should never drive us away from him. It should always push us towards him. But because of fear of shame, or the shame of the things that's in our life, it is hard to get to that place that he wants us to be. So this morning, at this point, if you're not already thinking, I'm going to ask you to think, what's your struggles? What's your struggles? Nobody else has dialed into your head. The person next to you has no idea what's going on in between these two ears or from here to here. You think about it. I'm thinking about it. I mean, just completely thinking about it. What's keeping you from taking that next step towards God? And instead, you're hiding because of fear. Maybe it's even keeping you from him altogether. We shouldn't talk about prayer and worship and forget it, you know? I mean, you can't even begin to. As we go throughout this series, and I want to face this right now, sin will keep us from having the prayer life that we desire. Doesn't mean that you won't pray, okay? Now, I want to make this very clear. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't pray, because you should. Just because things aren't perfect and you're not perfect doesn't mean you quit all that. I said that a minute ago. But to achieve that and really begin to grow in that life, we have got to begin to deal with this stuff in our lives. The wrong kind of fear is a product of sin that will keep us from living naked and unashamed. Number three, and this one probably, you know, as it notice this is the continual thing. You know, first they were hiding, and then they became fearful. And the third thing that I saw from this story right here is probably the scariest. Because number three, sin leads us to separation from God. Sin leads us to separation. Let me go flip on down to verse 21 in the story. And this is after God had spoke out to the serpent, and then he'd spoke out to Adam and Eve and told them all this stuff that was going to happen in their life. By the way, go read the story. If you've never read the story of creation and the story of the fall of man, it's a great story. Really easy read. Chapter 1, beginning of the Bible, through chapter 3, and just kind of see exactly where it went and how we got to the place that we are, you know, today. But let's look at this. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Now, I want you to gather something really quickly right here. Just because, and I'll show you this again here in just a few minutes, just because we mess up does not mean that God will not take care of us. And sometimes I think we get in this concept, in this thought process that well, I've messed up, you know, so blew that with God. He don't care about me no more. He don't, you know. Listen, they had just blown it. They were hiding. They were afraid. He had stood up and he had disciplined them for their actions. But even after that, we see God taking care of them. Now, you're going to see this. God takes care of them, but then he does this. But now listen to me, okay? Just follow the rest of the story. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove them out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way of the tree of life. Ultimately, their choice and their decision got them kicked out of the place that they were created to live in. That separation, I mean, now think about this for just a second. Because as we know, you go on and look, and God still speaks to Adam and Eve and goes through these different things. And like I said, he just took care of him. But with our choices come consequences. And if we continue to habitually make the same mistakes and the same choices, I'm telling you, it will drive a wedge between us and our relationship with God. And the more we continue to do it, the farther that distance becomes. God's intention, He created them to live in a perfect place with a perfect God, with no shame. And because of their mistake, they were separated from that place. It's tough. It's tough. Romans 6:23 says the wages, the first part of that verse is the wages of sin is death. Or the price of sin. This is really what this means. The price of sin is separation from God. Because that's, if you, the word death, that's, you know, so it's being separated. So it's being separated from God. The price of sin keeps us from living naked and unashamed. Maybe some of you sit here today and you say, man, well, it sounds like we've all sinned and we've all blown it and we all disobey God and now I'm just out of luck and I went too far. You never go too far. You will never go too far. That God will not stop what He's doing and listen to you. That God will not stop what He's doing and reach down and give you just exactly what you need. That God won't stop and reach down in your shame and clothe you again. And Christian, I know it sounds like I know it sounds like this salvation-y message, but you need to be listening. I need to be listening to this. Sometimes we get so caught up in this becoming our hiding place in the wrong way. And the junk that's in our life and the sin that's in our life just continues to build up and it continues to build up and it continues to build up. And you know what that affects you individually? It affects you as a person, it affects you as a husband, it affects you as a wife, as a parent, as a kid. It affects our church. I know that's tough and I know that's hard, and believe me, I'm standing up here leading the charge, having to search my own self out. Sometimes we get into this thought that my life is just full of too much shame, or I feel too much guilt, and how can I ever live a life close to God, naked and unashamed? Well, if you finish the verse, of course, the first part says, for the wages of sin is death. But the last part of verse 23 says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. It is a free gift to begin to live in freedom from the junk that's in our life. To begin to face it and to ultimately, hopefully, conquer it. There are things that I struggled with in my life, sinful things in my life that I struggled with years ago that I don't struggle with today. But it's not because I had to battle them. There was a time that I had to stand up and make a determination that I was going to fight that stuff. I was going to fight the addictive thoughts that were in my mind and the addictive actions that came with those thoughts. That it had to be a decision that I was going to stand up and I was going to accept this gift. Now, I still had thoughts and I still had struggles and I still had temptations. And sometimes, yeah, I even blew it. But it was a continual, it was a decision of mine. It was a choice. Just like it was a choice for Adam and Eve to take that piece of fruit and to eat it. They had the choice not to. And it was my choice too. It was my choice not to. It still is today, just like it is for you. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And even though sin got Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden, and even though our sin leads to us wanting to hide from God or fear God in the wrong way, and ultimately maybe even leads us to separation from God, regardless of all that, He still offers this gift of freedom and forgiveness from that sin through His Son Jesus. If you're here today and you have never made an open profession to make Jesus Christ your best friend and your Savior, and if that's never a decision that you've made, I want you to know right up front that that decision does not mean that you're going to be a perfect person. It doesn't mean that you won't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that just throw all that stuff out. It means that you decided to take what's inside of your life, put it in front of you, and not face it alone. That you decide that there is a person. You say, well, I don't see the guy. I see him all around. I'm telling you, I see him. I don't know. Maybe it's what I look for.
I walked out of my house last week at about 4:45 in the morning, and I was in a hurry. I was wanting to get to my other job and get some stuff done so I could get here. And I got to the middle of the street, and I looked up. And I'm telling you, I have never in my life seen as many stars in the sky as that morning. It was clear. The humidity was, I mean, it was down. So, I mean, it was unbelievable. And I was literally stuck in the middle of that street staring up in amazement. And every time I see things like that, I'm like, God, how in the world could anyone say that you didn't do this? I see him. I know that he's there. I know the things that he's brought me through. I know the places that he has been with me in. So today, if it's you, and you know, maybe right now you're living a life of hiding and fear, a life of shame and separation, you can begin a life of freedom today with a simple decision. Just a simple decision. Christians, today, for you, for those of you that think that this was just directed at some group, and we struggle with sin. Accepting Christ as your personal Savior does not mean the struggle to sin ends. It's almost like it gets harder sometimes. We know that we should do things and not do things. Sometimes we're the ones that end up trying to hide from God because of our fear and our shame, and we end up fighting this daily battle just to have a prayer life, or just to worship, or maybe serve in a church, or give the way that we know that we should give. But if we truly want to experience life naked and unashamed, and by the way, if you haven't figured that out yet, I believe that this is God's desire for us. That's the way he created Adam and Eve to begin the whole show. If it was good enough for him then, why would that not be a good enough thing for us to at least try? Once again, you'll never achieve perfection. But why wouldn't I want to get to the place where I don't have any shame in my life? Why wouldn't I want to try to get to that place? Why wouldn't I want to try to deal with some things in my life that were bringing me down, that were causing things in my life? But to do that, we have to confront it. I have to confront it. You have to confront it. And that doesn't mean that we won't struggle anymore. Satan knows what gets to you, and he knows, listen, he's not going to roll over. Does that mean you won't mess up? No, probably not. But you will never experience true freedom until you experience the saving power of Jesus Christ in your life from the sinful things that may be there. Sin may actually offer you a false freedom, based on immediate feelings and self-gratification, but really, where does that lead to? I want to go back to the book of Romans really quick, and I want to go into chapter 6. And verse 20 says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from control of righteousness, which basically meant you could do whatever you wanted to do. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? In other words, where did it really get you? What does it really do for us anyways? It actually boldly says those things result in death. Those things result in separation. But now look at verse 22. It says, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result of this is eternal life. Holiness just means separate from the world. Okay, sometimes we put this big stigma on the word holy or holiness. It just means being separate, being different. And then, of course, it goes on, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a free gift of freedom for everybody today, but it is your choice. It is your choice. It is my choice to begin that journey towards that. Just like Adam and Eve had a choice, we have a choice. And God desires us to live in every area of our life, and we'll begin to look at some of those areas throughout the weeks to come. But every area of our life, he desires for us, I believe, to live naked and unashamed. But we'll have to make some changes. I'll have to make some changes. You'll have to make some changes. And I don't care what it is. If you're doing something right now, or if there's something in your life right now that you know goes against what God says or is asking you to do, it is keeping you from experiencing this life. I have to believe that.
Maybe you're trying to hide from God by coming to church. Maybe you're afraid you went too far. Maybe you feel as you're separated from God right now. Maybe it's just something that started to tempt you and you haven't even taken a bite of the apple yet. Maybe you're standing there staring at the fruit on the tree and you're like, man, that really looks good, but I know that I shouldn't really do that because God told me not to do that. But boy, it really looks good. Wherever you are, whatever, you have a choice and you can choose right now. When you came in today or sometime this morning, you were handed an index card. If you do not have an index card, would you please raise your hand because I'll find somebody that will get you one. There's a few hands up. Could somebody run out and grab some of those and we can redistribute some of those? In fact, I need one myself. Lacey, could you hand me one really quick, please? Thank you. Thanks. Now, this will require some boldness. On all of your parts. It requires some boldness on my part. Just to be real honest with you. And I'm going to stand before you today and I'm going to confess an area in my life that that I struggle with. And when I do, some of you say, well, that's not that really of a big deal. Yeah, it is to me. Because it affects me in my life. And mine is selfishness. Now that's pretty broad because selfishness can lead to a lot of things. Selfishness a lot of times will lead to trying to fulfill your own desires and trying to get things for your own gratification or maybe even thinking of yourself. You think, and you know something? Now, I want you to know that it's something that I'm better at. Used to, I was pretty bad. And my wife would amen me, and I say that respectfully. And I work on it. I think I'm better at it as a husband, as a father. I wished I would have known today when you were his age. I do. But I don't. But you know what I do? As the things that I have learned, I can now pour into Jack and Jensen's life. But I struggle with that. There's still times, even though I'm better, there's still times. And you say, well, what's the big deal about selfishness? If you struggle with selfishness, you know exactly what the big deal is. You know exactly what it is. Today, and this is up to you. You know me. I don't make anyone do anything. You have a choice. But I also believe this. I believe that sometimes you've got to step out of your comfort zone and out of your box to begin a process of healing. To begin a process of freedom. Now, is this the only thing that I struggle with? No. But most of the things that I struggle with begin with this. And so this is an area that I believe for me to grow in the areas I have to begin to deal with my selfishness in my life. What is yours? Maybe it's one, maybe it's, I don't know, it could be 20. But this morning I'm going to ask you as we worship here in just a second, and once again, your choice. You don't have to put your name on this card. I did, PR by the way. You don't have to. Now, if you feel like God's wanting you to, and this becomes an actual out there confession, and by the way, this is where I just lay them right here. Don't be looking at the person next to you because you don't need to know what theirs is. That's between them and God, and if they want to confess it or not. If you got to get down here and hide and run like this, then get down here and hide and run like that. Fold it up. I don't care. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to look at him. Listen, I just put myself out there and you become my accountability. Okay? I mean, I did. I am now accountable to you to work on this area of my life. Even if your name is not on it, I will become accountable. You will become accountable to me because I'm going to pray specifically. I'm not throwing these away.
I'm not going to show them to nobody, but I'm not throwing them away. I believe it is also God's design that we help each other and we pray for each other. If you have a struggle in an area, then I'm going to pray with you about that. If you write your name on there, you have my word. You have my word. I'll never say a thing to anyone other than you. You want to live free. You want to begin headed towards that life of living naked and unashamed. It's going to begin with putting things up front and dealing with them. So I'm going to pray here in just a second. By the way, if you need to make a decision to follow Christ, if that is something that you want in your life, then I'm going to ask you to write that on this card. And I am going to ask you to sign that. Because I want to make sure that I'm able to connect with you. Something different. But this morning, once again, your choice. As we worship, I'm going to pray. Whatever God is speaking to you, write it down. If you need to fold it up into a small little piece to throw it up here, that's fine. But it is an act of confession, by the way. You are getting outside of yourself into something. And then I'm going to ask you to get out from where you are. I'm going to ask you to lay it right here. And then I'm going to ask you to begin to take those next steps in freedom in worship. And if that's back at your seat, if you have to stop up here and if you have to kneel and you need to literally ask God to forgive you, then so be it. You won't be here alone. I'll promise you there'll be somebody out in this crowd that will come and they'll meet you here. Guaranteed. Your choice. I believe God wants us to live this way. I know this has been a hard message and I know that you don't hear me preach these very often. But I do believe it's important. And I do believe it's something that we have to face. Let's pray. God, you're great. And God, I know that you spoke today. And I believe from the bottom of my heart, Lord, that it was exactly what we needed to hear, myself included. God, I know that as long as you tarry, as long as people are here on this earth, sin will be a struggle that we face. And it will be one, God, that sometimes we even fall victim to, that we give into. God, I pray today, God. I know there'll be, I know this, even with mine, God, it'll be a struggle. But I pray you put things in my mind, in my heart, in the minds and hearts of the people, God, today, that this begins that step, that, God, when those temptations come, when Satan, God, when he speaks and when he rears, God, that you will speak in such a way that we know that you are there. That we know, God, that we have the power and that we have the out. That we have the choice to say no, to go a different direction, to turn and to flee. That's what your word actually says to do. God, it will be hard, I promise. I know it will be. God, we can do it with you and your help. And we can also do it with each other. I pray for freedom in this place. God, I pray, God, for boldness. And Father, I pray that we choose today as individuals in the church, God, to live in your freedom. To live in your freedom. Father, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. When God releases you, if he has, leave it at his feet. Leave it at his feet.